Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you?
I'm okay. My neck's a little sore today.
Why is that?
I think maybe it must have been the trans fats I had in the restaurant yesterday.
Oh, I am a Democrat. I'm a registered Democrat. You're a registered Republican, are you?
I'm not registered, thank you. I'm an independent.
I'm a
free-thinking man.
Well, and our partner Lou is a registered Republican. So our business is multi-party, right? But I'm hopping mad. Hopping mad at some crazy nut job, liberal, vegetarian Democrats in the state of New Jersey, okay? And I'm a Democrat, okay? And you nut jobs...
Can I tell you something?
What?
You crack me up.
Oh, I am... What the heck is wrong with these people? All right, here's the deal. Here's the deal. So, there's a bill introduced to ban the production of foie gras by a vegetarian legislator whose number you can find on our website and call him up and tell him he's a dummy.
Who obviously has no idea how foie gras is made these
days. Yeah, he has never been on a farm, and he watched one video from the extremist animal rights group PETA, which doesn't believe that you should have the right to have a pet because it's animal exploitation. You can have an animal companion, but you can't pet it because that would be exploiting it. Nutsos, okay, on the one side. Okay, so that's the foie gras thing. Well, 2 days ago, another vegetarian Democrat from Monmouth County, Ellen Karcher, introduces a ban that, like the New York City ban, would ban trans fats in restaurants. Okay, here's the problem: trans fats are bad for you. So's ice cream. Okay.
Right.
So's ice cream. But if I want to eat ice cream, as long as you're not sneaking ice cream into my other food. Let me eat my ice cream, Ellen Karcher. This is not the business of the legislature, okay? It's the business of a mommy, okay? Of a mommy.
Well, what amuses me here, too, is the law is set to ban trans fats in restaurants. Now, first thing everybody should know is this law will have no impact on Francis and me.
No.
Zero impact. I can't think of a single item in our restaurant that has trans fats in it. So let's be clear. This is not something that will impact us even a little. But trans fats banned in restaurants. Okay, so here's the news, Francis. You can only have trans fats in the safety of your own home.
You can go out and have 12 beers and a pint of ice cream in a restaurant, but you can't have an Oreo. Actually, the Oreos do get trans fats out of Oreos. But all right, here's the deal. If they were passing a law, because trans fats are bad for you, and you don't always know what they're in. So if they wanted to pass a law that said, look, if it contains trans fats, like a lot of the any oil that solidifies pretty much, it contains trans fats. And those oils are very durable. And
margarine, Crisco, I'm just giving you some things that
but
you would cook with.
But why those are the oils most often found in fryers in restaurants, unlike the canola oil you'll find in our fryer, and we use our fryer very little, they're stable, they're durable, they're cheap, you can reheat them many, many times.
And then the more times you reheat them, the more times you reuse that oil,
the worse it gets. So, okay, I understand if you want to say, listen, there's no way for you to know whether or not, there's no way to encourage restaurants to give people an option to not use trans fats. You want to say, all right, restaurants, when anything contains trans fats, needs to be labeled. Put an asterisk next to it, and at the bottom of the menu, you write, contains trans fats. And that way, you, Ellen Karcher, in your role as a mom, not as a legislator, can not order or not let your kids order that stuff. But adults want to go and say, I'm like, you know what? They'll be 50 cents cheaper if I order it with the trans fats. I don't care about that stuff. Because you know why? You know why, Mark? You know why I don't care? You know why I should have the right not to care?
Tell me why you don't
care. Because Ellen Karcher's not my mom. Okay, she's not my mom. Here's the deal.
I think she wants to be, though.
Here's what she wants to be, the whole state's mom.
Yeah.
I was listening to
Hold on. They're making fun of us. All the other states across the country right now making fun of us.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, maybe California's not making fun of us.
I was listening to
That's because we make fun of them.
I was listening to Michael Bloomberg last week, and I was thinking we could do something to really take a bite out of what's harming our bodies. Worry about your own body, Ellen, and leave my body, I don't know, to me, as if I had civil liberties. Anyway, we could do this by statute in New Jersey, and we could make everyone go to bed at midnight, too. Okay, on the heels of the slap over foie gras, this is from the Star-Ledger, New Jersey Assemblyman Michael Panter's recently proposed ban on foie gras. Deborah Dowdell, who's our friend from the New Jersey Restaurant Association, says, it's mind-boggling that we're being continually the target of government micromanagement. Now, Deborah's talking about the restaurant industry, but I'm talking about the people of New Jersey.
I'm going to tell you one place where I disagree with Deborah Dowdell, and she is a friend of mine, but a place where I disagree with Deborah Dowdell,
that's not what she told me.
She keeps saying, oh, you know, we're concerned because you're assailing the restaurant industry. I don't care that you're assailing the restaurant industry. If the restaurant industry deserves to be assailed.
Right, if they're putting arsenic in the food,
okay,
assail them.
Stop them, all right? But what we're talking about is a bigger issue here. We're talking about your right to choose. And I'm not talking about, and you guys know, anybody who listens to this show regularly knows, I don't want to see a soda machine in my 12-year-old
in the school.
I don't want to
see... You want to ban trans fats in the schools? Mm-hmm. Okay, because those are minors. And we need to act in loco parentis because children need their parents to tell them what to do. I'm not a child. If I want to have trans fats in my cheap burger and fries, then it's up to me.
Yep. If I want to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, it's up to me.
I'd like to throw Ellen Carter out of an airplane without a parachute.
Not so nice.
I don't mean that. I would give her a parachute.
All right.
And some french fries. Here's a quote. But she'd rather jump out of an airplane than just go and throw fries at her. Americans consume on average about 25 pounds of french fries per person every year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Catch this. Karcher's children, despite her best efforts, are among them. Here's a quote from Karcher. I have two kids who are 11 years old and are now in that junk food market, said the senator, who has been a vegetarian for 26 years. One of my twins is a french fry connoisseur. How do you stop it, short of tackling the kids in the cookie aisle in supermarket? Let's see. You can't control your kid, and so you're going to pass a law removing it from the state. I got an idea. You be a mom to your kids, and you be a legislator to the rest of the citizens of the state.
I figured out how we can battle these two, the foie gras ban as well as the french fry ban.
What?
We'll just start sending foie gras and french fries to the people who are starting to fill up their offices with french fries and foie gras.
I know Mark knows, but you out there in listener land know what Chicago did when they banned foie gras in Chicago. Like, pizzerias started putting foie gras on their pizza, and hot dog stands started offering hot foie gras on their hot dogs.
Gotta tell you. Sounds a little gross.
I was going to say. But I like this statement. Anyway, you can find out how to contact a Karcher. What is she? Senator? She's a senator, right? Senator Karcher. I think so, yes. Senator Karcher, Democrat of Monmouth
County.
New Jersey State Senator Karcher. And we're going to put her on our website, along with Joan Voss, and we're going to put Michael Panter, who is, despite an article by Anthony Bourdain and Ariane Degan, op-ed pieces in the Ledger recently, clearly stating the cases that for freedom of choice of adults to have. And again, Mark and I are not talking about what's going on in the schools and not talking about what's going on in kids. We're going to put all that information up on our website. You decide for yourself. This is an important thing about freedoms and your right to choose as an adult. And if you're against it, contact the senator.
And again, Francis and I are not against labeling this because one of the freedoms that we want to protect is your right to choose this or not choose this.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Francis and Mark, stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurant.
Did you forget who we were?
We were for just a moment. We are The Restaurant Guys, and we own stage left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And I got me, Mark, and my high horse are in the studio right now, and I told you to check the website if you want to contact, if you want to learn about more about the foie gras ban, the trans fat ban, the ice cream ban, that you have to go to bed at 10 o'clock rule that they're going to propose. You can go to restaurantguysradio.com, and you'll find you have all sorts of information there about those products and these laws and what legislators you can contact in order to make a difference and register your pleasure or displeasure therewith. Also on that website, you can find out about our New Year's Eve, which we're just announcing on Monday, and we've already sold like 50 tickets. We're doing a big New Year's Eve gala. We're now going to do concert promotion because two restaurants and a radio show wasn't enough. Mark and I had some free time. So
we thought we'd go become concert promoters.
We have an internationally renowned jazz singer, and we're putting on the concert at the Crossroads Theater in downtown New Brunswick, a really swank gala evening. So
on New Year's Eve
out.
This year.
Yeah, you can check that out on any of our websites. Our guest today is Jane Black. Jane Black is, well, she's great. She's the food editor at Boston Magazine. She writes for publications freelance like the Washington Post, the New York Times, Business Week, and Newsweek International. And we have to have her on the show once in a while because, well, half of our show ideas comes from articles that she writes.
Jane Black, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fine, thanks. And thanks for all the shows you provide for us. We're like, oh, that's a good idea. We can talk about that for an hour. So we have to have you on once in a while so we can talk about it from the Jane Black's mouth.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to do them on luxury foods. You know, I was laughing at myself. I was like, gosh, everything I write about costs over $250 an ounce. I need to start investigating more affordable foods that I can actually enjoy myself.
Jane likes to eat caviar, truffles, and gold.
Yeah, when you can go on our website and find the old show if you want, but Jane was on last, and we talked about truffles, which are up to $1,800 a pound.
A pound. That's
about $1,800 a pound. Sorry, and now we're talking about caviar, which is some caviar has shot up to $300 an ounce, but that's not the caviar we're going to be talking about today. But before we talk about caviar, did you hear any of the beginning of the first segment of the show, Jane?
I did not.
Oh well, you know, you've heard that they're proposing banning foie gras, yet another luxury food in the state of New Jersey.
I'll have to investigate that.
Yeah, do a story on that, will you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, they're sort of talking about it in a lot of places, but up here in Boston, you know, foie gras is flying out of the restaurants. I mean, I know they've talked about it, but I think here the diners would really revolt. I've never seen, you know, the restaurateurs around town tell me they've never sold more of it.
Well, here's the problem.
I'm going to tell you, we've never sold more of it than we're selling right now.
By the way, and just so you know, all you PETA people listening, since you started this whole nonsense, people are like, foie gras, I didn't know about it before, but I read about it, and can I have some? So we're selling more as a result of this.
That's exactly right.
But you know that D'Artagnan, one of the biggest suppliers of foie gras in the country, is located in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems if they pass this law in New Jersey is she's got to move or go out of business.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, and that was the threat in New York and in California. And I mean, I guess maybe they just think they can keep them hopping from place to place and you know, eventually they'll run them out of business. But, you know, it is very sad. And, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, people should make their own ethical choices, but, you know, they don't really need to impose them on other people.
Well, I'd like to propose a story for Boston Magazine about how the New Jersey restaurateurs and dining community are standing up against these vegetarian extremists.
Except that it has nothing to do with Boston. It would be a great story.
It was a shameless plug. I'm just trying to get press.
Maybe D'Artagnan's going to move to Boston if they go out of business.
Yeah,
in New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to have Ariane here because she's a cool lady.
Well, we're keeping her here in New Jersey. All right, so let's get to the topic of the day. Today we're talking about caviar. Now, the caviar market in the last couple of years has changed completely. Why don't you tell our listeners how it's changed?
Well, I think what's so interesting about it is that, you know, one of the reasons it's a luxury food is because, you know, it's hard to find and it's exquisite. And so, of course, you know, what happens in today's, you know, industrial food production is they say, aha, here's something people really want. Let's see if we can make it. And, you know, it's, the caviar business has been around for 15 years, but
The farmed caviar.
Mm-hmm. But it was very, very, very small. And, you know, it was really just a bunch of scientists with some fish in a big tub, you know, trying to figure out, how do we do this? I mean,
well, let me lay the groundwork for how caviar is really produced. When you want real caviar, just in case you're wondering, and I always remember that movie, the Jackie Onassis story, where Aristotle Onassis is on his yacht, and somebody says he likes caviar, so they bring him out, like, 4 pounds in a silver bowl.
Right.
Caviar has always been expensive, but wild caviar, and you used to be, before 15 years ago, you could only get wild caviar.
Exactly.
When a sturgeon is swimming upriver to spawn,
mm-hmm.
They take this sturgeon, they club it on the head, they harvest its eggs, poor little thing, and then they throw it back in the river. That is the way the caviar was farmed for a long time. And with the strict control of the Soviet Union and the caviar-producing regions in Iran and Russia, there was always a decent supply, though a high supply. And now caviar is the sturgeon are endangered, and so the U.N. has pretty much almost eliminated caviar export quotas. And
yes,
so now
exactly.
Farmed caviar is your reasonable option.
Absolutely. I mean, so what's happened is that, you know, you used to be able to get Iranian caviar and Russian caviar and all these kinds, and now you can only get a small amount of Iranian caviar. That's the only caviar coming in. You can't get beluga. I mean, it's illegal. Beluga is on a list of endangered species.
Beluga is was always considered the best wild caviar.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, Jane, there is still some beluga out there being sold, and, you know, it is unfortunate, but it's still
happening.
You should
beat those who sell it with a club and throw them overboard.
Yeah, well, you know, but there are two things. I mean, first of all, if somebody tries to sell it to you, first of all, it's either illegal or it's been sitting around for a
right.
really long time.
Or it's counterfeit.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you don't want it in any of those cases. So, you know, it is something really to watch out for. But so what's happened is that these farmers who, you know, were just a bunch of, you know, scientists with a dream, you know, and people have been ignoring for years because they said, well, why should we get that if we can get the real stuff? Suddenly are having all of these restaurants and airlines, you wouldn't believe, airlines buy 60% of the farmed caviar in the world and serve it in first class.
I wish I could afford to fly first class.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I learn more about it. I got to rack up those miles. What I want to talk about as we go on with the show, and what I think you out there in the listening audience will find fascinating, is number one, wild caviar harvesting is a fascinating topic, and it's fascinating how it happens. But farm caviar faced unique challenges, and challenges that now there's a huge economic incentive to overcome, and there's actually some pretty good stuff out there.
Absolutely.
We'll be talking more with Jane Black, the food editor of Boston Magazine, in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Love me, leave me.
Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally, she's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn, and on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance, one of the best jazz singers in the country, two of the best restaurants in the state, an evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or Catherine Lombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest is Jane Black. She's the food editor at Boston Magazine and one of our favorite freelance food writers. We're talking to her about caviar. Now, caviar, kind of hard to harvest in the wild, and caviar for a long time, farmed caviar or farmed fish eggs in America is an industry that's about 15 years old and was always sort of given short shrift and was taken up by, well, guys like us who are concerned about, like, eating locally whenever we can. And you know, it's a lot less expensive. It's not quite as good as the wild caviar.
It's different. I'm not, you know, let's not make a value judgment on it. I mean, I don't like it as well.
Not as good.
But
value judgment.
It is something that people should try again, because if you tried it 5 years ago and you try it now,
absolutely,
you will really notice a difference. I mean, they really have. I've spent, you know, some time at these farms watching them do this, and they, you know, they've come a long way in terms of understanding how to process it and how to cure it and, you know, when to call the eggs. The thing about wild caviar, as you said, is you know when the eggs are ripe because the fish are swimming upstream. I mean, here you're sort of playing this interesting guessing game, trying to get just the right moment, and they really are sort of zeroing in on how to do that. So while you're right, it is very different, it's something you haven't tried in a couple of years. It's worth giving another chance.
You know, you wrote about some of the ways that they now have figured out how to find out when the sturgeon has eggs. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. You know, there are people doing all kinds of different things. So, you know, one of my favorite ones is sort of this sci-fi fish that they're doing in Italy. Italy is actually, in northern Italy, the largest caviar farm in the world is located there just outside of Milan. And one of the things that they have there is they put, believe it or not, a microchip in every single female sturgeon's head. And, you know, on it is the fish's genetic information. It sort of says who the, you know, where it came from, the parents, the grandparents. And then they add all these other things every time they sort of look at the fish, its weight, its diet, where it's swimming. And what that does is it helps them to sort of see where the fish has come from, how long it's been around, and, oh, well, you know, that fish's mother, you know, eggs were ready at X time, so this is probably likely to be the same. So, you know, by keeping a really good genetic record of what fish they have, they're able to sort of get it at just the right time.
So they breeding these things like the Secretariat of Sturgeon, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is really very funny. I mean, it's super high-tech. And you look in, you know, their processing room, and it's like an ER. I mean, you've got all these people in white lab coats and surgical gloves and hair nets and
Jane?
The room.
Mm-hmm. Jane, did either one of you guys see Day of the Dolphin, where the dolphins took over because they put microchips in their heads and they taught the dolphins to be really, really smart?
It is a little bit sad, I have to say.
Day of the Sturgeon, I think, would be less threatening. But let's watch that. That's a breaking story on the Restaurant
Guys
Radio.
Though they are an ugly, ugly fish and would make a good villain for
a movie.
Hey,
listen, the news is really exciting today. Let's find out what's going on in the world, and we'll come back and talk more with Jane Black about caviar and how you can get caviar at a really reasonable price. And if you've never tried it before, you can even get it mail order and sent to your home, and it's not that crazy expensive. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and he's Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through RestaurantGuysRadio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Jane Black has written for publications like The Washington Post, The New York Times Magazine, Business Week, Newsweek International. She's food editor at Boston Magazine, and she's really, really cool. Hi,
so,
Jane.
So, Jane, what Francis pretty much said was, yeah, New York Times, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty much, that's what it
sounds
like.
It's like she writes for so many great publications, and we read her articles and so many things, I can't keep track. I saw you on AOL the other day.
But being cool is the most important.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we want to talk about, and what we're talking about, we started talking about before the news, caviar. And as the wild-farmed caviar legally has become very rare because of it's endangered, it's up to like $300 an ounce,
mm-hmm.
Farmed caviar has become an option. Now, farmed caviar, does it always come from sturgeon?
You know, if it's called caviar, it comes from sturgeon. So you will see things like salmon roe or, you know, rainbow trout roe. And sometimes they call it rainbow trout caviar. But if it's called caviar, then you know it's from a sturgeon. And there are a lot of different varieties of sturgeon, and that's what I think people sort of need to understand. You know, when you talk about beluga or savruga, you know, those are actually different varieties of sturgeon.
Different fish,
but they're all called caviar. And so the farmed caviar you buy mostly comes from two types, but, you know, there are going to be different kinds of fish that you'll get caviar from.
Okay, so when my mom, for the New Year's Eve party in 1979, went into the supermarket and picked up that little shelf-stable jar of red lumpfish caviar,
mm-hmm.
and black lumpfish caviar, that's not caviar?
Well, it is. I mean, it... This is when you get into marketing. I mean, it is, you can call it lumpfish caviar, because then everybody knows it's from lumpfish. But if it's just called caviar...
So
caviar,
I could call it catfish caviar if I want, right? If I get catfish eggs.
But when you're looking at something, if it just says caviar, that means it's from a sturgeon.
I see.
And again, what Jane said earlier is there are lots of different breeds of sturgeon, and that's where the different varieties of caviar.
I want to point out one of the ways that I judge caviar from sturgeon, and how I've seen that the market change for farmed caviar. And if you've never had caviar, I think that this is interesting because you're talking about an age old variety of food that's really been endangered, and that we're really trying to come up with a sustainable
age
way
old. You're not kidding, age old.
Yeah, sturgeon.
I mean,
like
they really are. I mean, the sturgeon in California, the local ones, date back 80 million years. I mean, and that's what's been proven. But I mean, it's believed that they, you know, date back 140 million years. I mean, they are.
I mean, sturgeon are dinosaurs.
Dinosaur type.
Yeah.
things. Yeah, exactly.
And if you've ever seen
them, and they look a little bit like dinosaurs,
ugly
by the way.
Fish.
Yeah, they do. They look a lot like sharks, and they sort of are like sharks a little bit. I mean, they have no bones. They're just cartilage. So, you know, they have that, they move sort of in a similar way to sharks. Yeah, they're, I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't want to run into one in a dark pond or what? Wherever you run into sturgeon.
Well, and they get huge, too.
Yes, they do. I mean, when they're harvested on the farms, you know, they're about 150 pounds, up to 150 pounds. But, I mean, there are ones that are, you know, 500 pounds. And, in fact, I once heard a rumor that people believed that the Loch Ness Monster was actually a sturgeon that had
really?
Been there for hundreds of years. I mean, you know, who knows? But it's definitely been rumored.
Well, the interesting thing about sturgeons also from an ecological perspective, and one of the reasons they are they have some unique attributes to farming. Like, if we were just raising them for meat, they'd be easy fish to farm because sturgeon, unlike almost any other fish, have no solid waste. They emit no solid waste. It's
mm-hmm.
it's all liquid, and so that really makes managing a sturgeon farm in an ecologically sound way a lot easier.
But it is easier. I mean, but one of the interesting things, and I love this story, you know, one of the farmers told me that sturgeon are actually very particular fish. I mean, it's not like having a trout farm or a catfish farm. He says, he told me, you know, catfish and trout, they're like dogs. You can teach them to do a couple of tricks and you sort of know what they're going to do. He says, sturgeon are like cats. You know, they're going to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been around for hundreds of millions of years and they do, you know, they're going to do things in their own time and the way they want to. And so that's been the real challenge, is sort of figuring out how to sort of breed them and keep them. But you're absolutely right. From an ecological standpoint, you know, they're wonderful.
You know, Jane, I understand exactly what you're saying. I had a pet sturgeon once who was very aloof.
Yes.
That was an exaggeration. One of the things that real caviar does, now, we talked about truffles last time, and I remember that James Beard once said that truffles are the essence of the earth, and caviar is the essence of the sea.
Well, and also, I think that truffles and caviar and foie gras, what is it about these foods that we like so much? First of all, they're singular. There's no other food like them in the world.
And they're also very intense. And I think that's what you were getting at. It's like the essence of the earth, the essence of the sea. There's this real intensity to the flavor. I mean, it's not, you know, something that's watered down. I mean, when you get the real thing, you know it.
And one of the things about really well-done caviar is these fish eggs are harvested from the sturgeon, and then they're packed just in a little teeny bit of salt, and they're picked to be perfect. And when you put real caviar, really good beluga, say, caviar in your mouth, it, like, each individual egg, each individual grain pops, and, like, it's the freshness of the ocean, like, swarming around your mouth. It's amazing. And what farmed caviar never had until recently was it never had that right texture on the eggs where they were firm enough to pop. They'd be, like, mushy or gummy. And they've started to achieve that texture in some of these fish.
That's absolutely right. I mean, and that has been the giant leap forward. And what's interesting is that, you know, I think what happened wasn't that the eggs themselves weren't good. It was that they didn't really understand how to store them, or, you know, how to filter them, just something really small. And in the early days, they took chances. I mean, one of the guys out in California told me that, you know, they had some stuff, and they thought, well, you know, it's not the best we've ever produced, but we'll sell it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that set them back 5 years.
Right.
And so, you know, but it's interesting. I mean, this summer, as this sort of caviar crisis has happened in restaurants and high-profile chefs are realizing they can't get wild caviar, you know, they're all starting to buy it. Thomas Keller was out in California tasting the farm stuff. It went on the menu at the French Laundry out in Napa in the last week or two. Picheline, which just, you know, relaunched itself in New York.
Right, Terrence Brennan owns that, yeah.
Exactly, has farmed caviar on the menu. They have it on the menu. You know, at all the big restaurants you've heard of, you know, are moving to it, A, because the wild stuff is so expensive and they don't want to have to put a $200 supplement on the menu, but also because, you know, it's good enough. I mean, it really mm-hmm. is. It really has improved by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, we've used a producer for the last few years by the name of Czar Nikolai that
mm-hmm.
we really like their farmer's caviar. But so, how do you think this? I presume that you think that this trend is going to continue now through the holidays, this first holiday season, where a lot of these imported caviars are no longer viably imported.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a meeting, the UN is meeting this month to sort of decide whether they are going to give quotas to the Caspian Sea and Black Sea countries where the wild stuff comes from for next year. And so we won't know until January whether, you know, there will be more wild caviar on the market. But I think it's fair to say that the general trend is that, you know, for the next 20 years, we're really going to be eating more farmed, sustainable caviar than wild caviar, because it's going to take a long time for these ancient fish to reproduce, if we're lucky enough to have them reproduce at all.
Well, they take 20 years to get to mating age anyway.
Yeah, in the wild, that's right.
Right, so young, like you can marry as a legal adult as a human at 18, but the sturgeon takes 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, but what you will see, I think another trend of what you'll see is that, and what my article was about, is how many farms are popping up all over the world. So, for instance, now we get a lot of, you know, farmed caviar from California, but you're going to start seeing it coming in from France and from Italy. They're building an immense caviar plant, you won't believe this, in Abu Dhabi, in the middle of the desert.
One of the things that I want to talk about in just a moment with Jane Black, who's the food editor at Boston Magazine, is how we are going to get some of our caviar from the desert. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply Company is the oldest dealership in New Jersey. They've been equipping and supplying restaurants since 1932, and they know that to make great food, you need great equipment. You need equipment that doesn't break down, and you can't pay too much for it. Whether you need an emergency replacement or a wholesale kitchen renovation, Economy's knowledge, experience, and integrity are indispensable. Economy Paper and Restaurant Supply is a recognized dealer for all major brands, and they specialize in custom fabrication and ventilation. At Economy, they've got all the tools you need to get the job done, all in one place, all priced right, and delivered to your door. Economy is the only dealer in New Jersey that's been approved for on-site demonstrations of the Rational Combi Oven. The Rational Combi Oven is an innovative combination of convection and adjustable steam oven. It's a powerful and versatile tool in your kitchen's arsenal. They also supply competitively priced paper products and all the non-food supplies every restaurant needs. You can visit the Economy Demo Kitchen on Broad Street in Clifton, New Jersey. You can also visit economysupply.com, then call them at 973-279-5500. That's 973-279-5500.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome.
A two-sided argument. And, you know, but that's why I wrote the article, because whoever's right, we're still going to end up with a lot more farmed caviar than we had before.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and that argument really has a lot of legs. If you look at some of the when they introduced the international ban on ivory, some of the places that had a very good record of increasing the elephant herds and because they had a well-regulated ivory market, and they were able to sell the ivory. And so the people who were making money on the regulated ivory had the money to send out patrols and rangers into the, and kept the
to make sure their animals weren't being poached.
Right. Wouldn't let anybody illegally poach the ivory because, well, they were making money off it.
I mean, it is a very tough issue, and I definitely see both sides. But, you know, in some ways, the farmers are right. I mean, you can say that it's banned, but, you know, it's hard to control everybody.
Sure.
From stopping them from doing it. So, you know, I think what needs to happen is it needs to be both. There needs to be, you know, very close regulation of the market,
right,
in order to try to repopulate, but at the same time, you need to give people a way to make a living.
Well, and when you say, listen, it's $350 an ounce, but you've got to invest some of that back, and it's in your best interest to make sure the caviar is still there in 5 years because you're making $350 an ounce, then people will do that. And that's what happened when the international ivory ban came, like Kenya, they had a very well-tended herd of elephants, which then, of course, was, you know, people stopped protecting them because there's no economic incentive to do that. And it's the same as the Slow Food Project. I mean, this is for the listeners out there. It's my personal view. The Slow Food Project, where we take...
Francis, you're giving your personal view.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Very unusual on this show.
Where, you know, there are endangered farm animals, and or like the American bison. One of the reasons the American bison came back was because you became allowed to hunt in a controlled way bison, and now there's a market for it, and now they're off the endangered species list.
Right.
So,
it's one of those you have to sort of eat them to keep them.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, exactly. To save it, we have to eat it.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely counterintuitive,
but it's
true.
It works all the time. So what's your favorite brand of American farmed caviar, Jane?
Uh-oh. Well, you know, we did, the New York Times did a taste test, and to what came out on top, and I, you know, rather than giving my personal opinion, at least five people, I feel like that's better, was the stuff from Sterling Caviar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're one of the oldest farms out there. And as I say, I mean, I think what they've changed is the production. I think they'd always done a very good job of raising the fish in an environmental way, but they've sort of mastered the production in recent years. And it does, as you're right, it doesn't have that, quite that same pop. You can't sense each distinct bead, but, you know, it's got that essence, and it's got, you know, a little bit of pop, and it tastes really good.
Jane, we need to leave it there. Thank you for talking with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks for all the show ideas you give us all the time.
Terrific, Jane.
Thank you so much.
That's Jane Black. She's the food editor at Boston Magazine and a freelance writer on food. We're going to come back and tell you what our favorite brand of Sturgeon caviar is and how you can get it, and it's not too expensive. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, stage left.
Scott from Piscataway.
And Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We have Scott from Piscataway on the line. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. We don't take a lot of calls, but
yeah,
join us.
I would love to go to your restaurant and eat here. I'm kind of busy right now, but I agree with you guys 100%. If we want to save what we want, if we like to eat it, you know, it makes sense, though. If we want to eat it, we got to save it to eat it. It's true.
I think it's very true, and in many cases. But it needs to be done in a managed way. And thank you for the call,
Scott. Thanks for the call, Scott.
What you're doing is you're creating an economic incentive. And it doesn't have to be totally unregulated, go kill what you want, or you can't have anything. You know, we do that too much in our society, too many extremes, like these nutsos who want to ban trans fats and ban foie gras. There's a balance that human beings with an ability to reason can strike. And if you create an economic incentive that says, you know what, you can only farm very, very little caviar, Iranian caviar right now, and it's $300 an ounce because there's so little of it. But you know what, in 5 years or 10 years, if it's still there and you do better, you'll be able to get more.
And what can you do from that? You can tax that operation in order to govern it,
mm-hmm.
Okay, by making it legal in sustainable and production in sustainable ways. And then there's incentive for those people to protect that product.
Absolutely. And I don't believe in an ownership society. I don't believe that all the national parks should be owned, and that's the only way to protect things. But if you want to protect animals and food products, and you accept that it is okay to use animals for food, and it is okay to use animals for leather, we got to think about a humane way to do it, a reasonable way to do it, and a sustainable way to do it. And part of that is it can't just depend on government intervention and charities. We create a market, like we did with the American buffalo, like slow food with the American heritage turkeys, which have come back. I mean, mm-hmm. Four different breeds of American turkeys that were on the verge of extinction not 7 years ago. You can have on your Thanksgiving table this year. By the way, you can find out about that on our website as well, restaurantguysradio.com. We do it every year.
We promise you some local caviar, but places locally that you can get caviar. There's a great producer from California called Tsar Nicolai.
TSARNICOULAI.com.
And they're available here in the New Jersey area as well as other places in the country.
And you can order mail order. You can go to tsarnicolai.com or you can find out their telephone number. I don't have it handy, and you can call them. And they'll send you the sturgeon caviar, but they also do these, it's not really caviar, it's sort of a flavored whitefish roe, mm-hmm. flavored whitefish eggs. Look, if you think caviar is gross.
But some of them are like $20 an ounce, $25 an ounce,
like,
and they're delicious.
Ginger flavored whitefish eggs, truffled flavored whitefish eggs. Listen, if the only caviar you've ever had is that shelf stable stuff off the supermarket, and you haven't tried good stuff, go to tsarnicolai.com. It's not crazy expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Get it delivered to your house. Try it, and you'll know yourself whether you like it or not. Or you can come to Stage Left, where we'll be having it sometime next week, because we love it, and you can just have yourself a little taste of it.
Tis the season.
Hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time's 12 noon.